Testing. Can you hear this?
Yes.
Okay, right from the get-go, before I even pray and get into the message that the Lord has written on my heart, I want to brag on the Lord for a moment, okay? We've been talking a great deal, Pastor's been talking a great deal about prayer. I mean, the theme of everything that was going on this morning was pray and prayer. And I remember hearing Pastor Oscar say, "We gotta, when you pray according to His will, okay." So that triggered something in me, and it confirmed a little testimony that I want to give for about 1 minute. And the testimony is this: a few weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, you can't remember when things happen in the spirit. Sometimes it's hard to tell if it was this afternoon or 6 months ago, but I felt the Lord speak to me, and He said, I want you to pray this prayer. Now, I don't know if I was asking the Lord, how do you want me to pray? Because sometimes I think there's a lot of frivolous praying that goes on, okay? And I think that the Lord is asking us to grow up, okay? Sometimes I think a lot of us, including myself, we get like children, and anything we think we need or anything we see, we think we got to have it, and so we run to mommy and daddy because we know they've got the resources, and maybe we can get in their heart and they'll give it to us, okay? And I think a lot of that goes on in our prayer life with the Lord. And even when it comes to praying for people, I'm finding out that the Lord really wants us to pray His mind specifically. There was a word, I'm not going to go into this, but I shared with Marge. Yesterday, a man came to me at work, and he said, "You probably won't remember this, Mr. Wilson, but about 5 years ago, you spoke something to me when I came back in your office and told you that I had leukemia." And I spoke something to him. I couldn't hardly believe I spoke that to him because it didn't really sound like it was faith-filled words. Because he says, "Do you remember saying to me that when I came back and I told you that I had leukemia, just diagnosed with it, you said, well, Rick, you've got 3 children, right? And a wife?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, let me ask you a question." I said, "If the Lord said somebody in your family is going to have to bear the burden of leukemia, who would you pick?" That isn't a very faith-filled thing to say, you know? Matter of fact, I had a hard time believing I even said it. And he said, "I can't tell you how deeply that touched me when you said that." And he said, "It brought such a peace to me," because he said, "Obviously my response to you was, I'd rather have it. I'd rather carry this burden than give it to my children, you know, or to my wife." And he says, "You know, since then, I've been on the leukemia hotline," and he says, "I've talked to over 200 people in the last 5 years that were diagnosed with leukemia, and I've shared that story with them." And he said, "I could just feel a wave of peace go over them when I would say that to them." And I thought, geez, Lord, you know. But the Lord is saying, "I know the keys to their healing. I know what they need to hear." And sometimes it isn't quoting a scripture. "By His stripes." You know? The Lord says, sometimes it isn't quoting. It's just give them the living word that I drop in your heart at that time. Geez, that wasn't even what I wanted to share, but I got into that anyway. Okay. What I really want to share, I want to brag on the Lord. Getting back to a couple of weeks ago, the Lord said, "I want you to pray a specific prayer." And like I said, I don't know if I was asking the Lord, is there a certain way you want me to pray? Because I think it's important that we do ask the Lord, how should I pray? Now, I know the disciples asked Him that when they were young, but I'm old in the Lord now, and I'm still saying, how should I pray? Okay? And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, "I want you to pray that I would release a word of life in you that would be like a cutting knife." And I thought, gee, that's not a very nice thing to say. And then as the Lord finished it, He said, "A cutting knife to cut away those things that will keep you from the Lord's new day. Release in you. Release in me a word of life that will be like a cutting knife that will cut away all those things that will keep us from entering the Lord's new day." Okay? Now, The neat thing about that was, about 3 or 4 days after the Lord gave me that word, and I wrote it down, and I've been praying it every day. Give me a word of life, Lord. Give me a living word. I don't want to come up and quote 99 scriptures. I want to give a living word. Fill my heart. You said that you were going to write your word in my heart, that I would be a living epistle. Okay? So I got a call from a guy up in Dayton who's not a very spiritual guy. Matter of fact, he even boasts about not going to church, and I don't want to put my family through that, and we haven't been to church in years. But he says to me, I just want to call and tell you I bought you something. I thought, okay, it's not my birthday. And I says, okay. And he says, it's going to be delivered. I don't know how long it's going to take, maybe a week to 10 days. I don't know, but he said, you'll be getting something in the mail. I said, okay. What's this all about? Can't tell you. I said, okay. So I just want to do this. I said, okay. So yesterday, the mailman comes, and he delivers this. Lord, release in me a word of life, that it will be a cutting knife. And when you open this knife, on the blade, engraved is Jim Wilson. A cutting knife on the blade. Now, I'm bragging on the Lord. And I'm just showing you how the Lord cares about every detail of your life and how the Lord wants you to pray what He wants you to pray. Yeah. Pray His will for your life, and you're going to start seeing victories in your life. And you're going to start seeing the Lord tangibly, even in the realms, the natural realm, starting to move and starting to bless you. Because the Lord is showing me that moving into this new dispensation, moving into this new thing that God is doing, He gave me a little poem, and it goes like this. I'm sure it's in here. I'm not going to try and recite it like Oscar most of the time. He can just belt those things right out. But, and then, of course, this little thing always falls off and drives you crazy. I didn't think I was going to be using that poem till a little later on. Okay, here it is. This is good news, folks. I was talking to the Lord about there's a lot of questions about this new day that we're moving into. And I've been quizzing Him, you know. The Holy Spirit says He will tell you about things to come. Amen? And so I've been trying to get some guidance, whatever, as to exactly what it is that the Lord is doing. And the Lord just says, keep your eyes on the ark, because you've never been this way before. Don't look to man. They don't have the answers, because the thing that I'm doing is going to be brand new. It's going to be brand new. It's going to be cutting edge. Okay? It's going to be cutting edge. So you're just going to have to spend time with me. You're going to have to get silent. You're going to have to get quiet. Devote some time to me. And there's going to be a cost in this. Even though there's some glorious things coming, but there's going to be a cost. I said, well, what's the cost? He said, you're going to have to pay attention. That's the cost. You're going to have to pay attention. I'm having a hard time getting my children to pay attention. And this is what I'm saying in this hour, and this is what I'm trying to do in this hour. And this poem here is called The Greater Grace. And it says, there is coming a greater grace upon my people. a grace to lead and a grace to guide, a place to draw you to my side, a place where I can lead you through the storms, a place where there will be no harm, a place where they can have my life and abide, a place where they can come and hide, a place where my power will be released upon the earth that's seeking peace. For I desire that all be saved and come into the Lord's new day. For my blood was shed for all mankind, so that all would come into the divine. So God is saying on this church, there is coming a greater grace. Was it Haggai, one of the prophets, prophesied that the latter house would have a greater, okay, outpouring on them? The latter house will be far greater, he said, than the early house, than our young brothers and sisters, Matthew, Mark, Peter, and those guys. They had a lot of grace on them. Even as I was reading in the book of Acts this week, and I said, Lord, well, where are we? What, you know, give me some kind of an idea of what we're moving into, where we're going. And he said, just read the first four or five chapters of Acts. That'll give you a good idea what you're moving into, because that's the coming of Christ, the Christ child. You know, when the Lord came and they started getting the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's the period of time that we're in right now. There's a people that's going to come into this greater grace because there's going to be a greater revelation of Jesus Christ that's going to come through these people. And it only comes by his grace. You know, the Bible talked about when the capstone came back on top of the temple. It said the people shouted, grace, 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 okay? And, of course, there's a lot of preachers right now that are being raised up in this hour. Lynn Hiles, to name one, he pops into my mind because he's such a wonderful grace preacher. But there's a lot of grace preachers. And when I came home one day this week, Marge showed me something from Joseph Prince. And in there, it had, the article was Grace Revolution. Was what it was. And so all this week I've been getting all this about grace, grace, grace. And the Lord is saying he wants us to understand that there's an abundance of grace. Now, I mean, I can show you the scriptures. You know, I got 200 of them up here dealing with grace. I'm obviously not going to stand up here and read them all. But I've read them. I've been chewing on them all week. And I know that they're going to be coming out of me even as I speak, okay? Because, again, we're living epistles of God. But the Lord is saying the grace is available. He wants his people to come boldly to the throne of grace. His throne is even called a throne of grace. Amen? Amen. He's the author, the Bible says, of all grace. Okay? It's even called the Spirit of grace. I thought I heard the Lord say to me, that's one of the fruits of my love. Is grace. This grace comes out from his nature of love. I never heard it referred to that way. I don't know, maybe it has been or what. But the Lord was saying, son, this is just part of the fruit that comes out of me, my grace and my mercy. It all comes out from my love. And thank God, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. That same Spirit of grace and mercy and love. And one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why God's given us, going to pour out this wonderful grace on us, is because he wants us to pour it out on others. It isn't, you know, if you're going to be one of those kind of guys that's going to just take in all the grace and praise God for it and never let any of it out, then you're going to be like the waters that Ezekiel saw. He said, I saw the waters coming out. And he said, in some places, the waters went into these areas and they couldn't get out of the area. And the area became swampy and every manner of beast and bug and everything was hanging out in there, called a swamp. So a lot of times God's grace and his love, his Spirit, if we don't let it loose, turn it loose and share it with other people, then we become cranky. I know a lot of cranky Christians. Depending on what day you get a hold of me, but the Lord is what the Lord really wants me to say here this morning, I believe, is I need their attention. I need their attention. I went and saw a movie, well, actually in my living room with Marge. It's called Tomorrowland. This was the one that Lynn Howes said that he went and saw. And he said he saw a lot of spiritual principles in it. And so I thought, well, if Lynn was really excited about that movie. And so I thought, well, you know, Marge and I got to watch this. We wanted to watch it. So we paid it at TV, at Cine, whatever it is. And we got it at home, Tomorrowland. And without going into a lot of details and all that, and don't want to spoil it for you if you go and see it, but toward the end of the, or in the movie, this one guy was trying to get the people to change their thinking because they were all talking about nuclear holocaust and this, and everything was negative and everything was going to be destroyed and blah, blah, blah. And he was talking to this guy that was pretty knowledgeable of everything. He was on another planet. And he says, how much time does Earth have left anyway at the rate you're going? He said, well, I calculate 58 days. He says, 58 days? He says, well, how do you know that? He says, well, for centuries, I've been keeping a machine over here. It's a static machine. And as the static continues to build up, he says, it's going to come to the place where the Earth is just going to explode. People are going to kill each other. Bombs are going to be flying all over the place. Well, this man was there with some kids that wanted answers why these things were going on, because they couldn't get any answers from the old people, because the old people were always talking about doom and gloom and destruction, and the young kids, they had hope in their heart. And they said, this is my future? No way. There's got to be an answer to the problems of Earth. And they were dreamers, and some of them wanted to be great scientists, and they were very brilliant, and they were making stuff. And you could tell that these kids were geniuses, a lot of them, and they were dreaming about the future, what they were going to do in the future, and they had visions of things that they were going to invent and create, and they kept saying, there's got to be an answer. Why isn't there an answer? Why is this going on? And the man that had all the answers at that time, he said, we've tried to impart positive things into their mind, but they won't receive it because it's too easy to embrace the apocalyptic attitude. That was the word used, too. It's too easy to sit back and say, well, the whole place is going to hell in a handbasket. What's the big deal? I might as well do the best I can until everything explodes and blows up. And the guy said something very interesting. He said, and the reason why they take that attitude is because if they take the attitude of these kids that have hope and they have vision and they have dreams, they're going to have to do something about that. And they're going to have to do something about it now, like these kids. These kids, they were working out of their garage and they were inventing and creating stuff. And the guy was saying, if the people receive hope and visions and dreams, they won't be able to sit back on their laurels and embrace the apocalyptic view. And one thing I heard Lynn Hiles say, he said, I'm kind of like that child. He said, I believe we've got the answer. I got a book full of hope and dreams and visions. We got the answer, church. We got the answer. But what's the church doing? They're running around saying, nope, everything's going to blow up. Got to find me a hole in the ground. Get me some food. I thought that was interesting. But the Lord, I think he wants to change a lot of that thinking in us. He wants us to be encouraged, like I think it was Clyde before was prophesying or whatever. But God wants us to come into his presence and sit with him. Because he said, there's coming a greater grace upon my people. A grace to lead them and guide them and to draw them to my side. A place where I can lead them through the storms of life. A place where there will be no harm. A place where you can have life and abide. A place where you can come and hide. A place where my power will be released upon the earth that's seeking peace. And boy, the earth is seeking peace. We talk about Solomon. His name means peace. You know, what are we sharing? Are we sharing peace and rest, optimism? Or are we sharing it's all going to blow up, eat, drink, and be merry, basically, is what the church is saying. Somehow, the Lord's going to change that mentality, and he's going to do it with a people that are prepared to do something about it now, that want to do something about it, instead of sitting back and say, well, I read the book of Revelations and it's over. Well, it isn't over, because God says, I got something better. I got something better. He's saying this whole thing started out by my grace in Ephesians 2:8. You were saved by this grace. Like the song guy sang in a song, I didn't teach you to swim to let you drown. God didn't save you to destroy you or to let you be destroyed. And that's how this whole thing started. It said you were saved by grace. It was through faith, which is the gift of God. What's the gift of God? The faith that God gave you to believe in a supernatural God. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, but God quickened you and made you alive in Christ. It was his grace that brought you forth out of your death, out of your grave. Okay? And like I said back in Sunday school, the Lord said, I want you to look at the last verse in the last book of the last chapter. And it says, Revelations chapter 22, verses 20 and 21 says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. And here's the last verse. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It started out a work of grace. It ends up a work of grace. He is the beginning of our salvation. He is the ending, of which there is no end. But he's there from the beginning, all through the middle, and to the end. Amen? So all the Lord wants us to do is, the Lord started talking to me about when I was in the military, and when he was talking to me about this paying attention, that's another little rhymy thing too he gave me. He says, if you will pay attention, I will bring you into my dimension. If you will pay attention, I will bring you into my dimension. The problem is we're in a dimension that we don't need to be in. We are people from heaven. Heaven is in us. The kingdom of God is in us now. Now the kingdom of God. We're kingdom people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus said to the disciples, now I'm going to leave you guys, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come back to you. And then in the book of Acts, it said that Jesus spoke to them through the Holy Spirit. He was in them. The kingdom of God was in them. And he was speaking to them. And they were moving on what God was speaking to them. And as a result of that, they all came into one mind and one accord. And that's the problem with our churches today. We got 99 different minds going on. If we could get everyone walking in here on Sunday morning with the same mind, oh my God, oh my God, and with one accord. And the reason why, and then they went and they started doing infallible acts. They started, miracles were going crazy. Why? Because Acts chapter 4, the latter verses, says, for great grace was upon them. And the Lord is saying to the church here, I don't like saying latter days because the latter days really have come and gone 2,000 years ago. Peter talked about the last days. Paul says, now that we're in the last days. Peter said the last days. This was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon blah, blah, blah. And it goes on. Those were the last days, okay? Those, a lot of those things was always fulfilled. But God's doing a new thing in our day. And that's the reason a lot of times we can't go back to a lot of the old markers along the road. That's the reason why God is saying, you know, when they was moving across Jordan, when they were going over to the promised land, Joshua, the Savior, told them, keep your eyes on the ark. You've never been this way before. We're crossing over, brothers and sisters. We're going over into that spiritual land. We're taking on the nature of Jesus Christ. We're taking on the mind of Jesus Christ. And greater grace is going to be upon us than what was on the first church. And look what they did with the great grace. And the Lord told me, he said, I'm giving you the greater grace. Yes, literally, the Lord said, I'm putting the greater grace on you, for you shall do even greater works than these, for I go to the Father. Well, how can we do greater works than him? Because now he's in every one of you. He's in millions of us all throughout the world. And I'll tell you, when he starts raising up in his temple, okay, and he starts releasing that grace, when that headstone starts coming back, there's going to be great shouts of grace. Praise God. Be encouraged. There's a lot of grace you can tap into, brother. You don't have to worry about a job. God owns every company in this city. He's the chairman of the board of every company in this city. And whatever company he wants you to work in, I'll guarantee you, you'll go to work there because he's the CEO. Not the guy that calls himself the president. He's the CEO. He's in charge of all powers. He's the only authority in the earth. He's the only authority. The Bible says he is all powerful. All powerful. Well, what about the devil? All powerful. God is all powerful. And God is going to start displaying this power. He's going to start displaying it through a headship company because the head is coming back to the body. Jesus said then to the first church, I'm looking for a place to lay my head. He's got a body in the earth today where he can lay his head. And you want to be a part of this. You want to be a part of this Joel's army that he's raising up in this hour. You do. You do. You don't want to be left out. As it was in the days of Noah. Yes. Noah preached for 120 years. Get into the ark. Get into the ark. Get into the ark. But they were marrying and partying and working and blah, blah. The Lord's saying, come into the ark. A lot of the things that you're going through, a lot of the physical problems that we have, a lot of the financial burdens that we have, the Lord says, come boldly. Come boldly to my throne. I have the answers. I want you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Is your soul prospering, brother? Because if your soul starts prospering, everything else starts prospering. Everything else starts prospering. When he took those young disciples and he said, okay, boneheads, come here. I want to say one thing to you and you better hear it. Now that you're going to start running with me, the big dog in the junkyard, hear this. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about what the heathen and the unbelievers are worried about. They're always worried about where they're going to work, what they're going to eat, where they're going to live, what they're going to wear. You seek first the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom? Within you. It's within you. And he said, and all these other things will automatically be handed unto you. Well, brother, I can't do that because I have so many concerns. I've got so many bills. And you're going to continue to have so many concerns and so many bills until you get quiet before the Lord. Because God will use all that stuff, like the bumper sticker says, stuff happens. Okay? He will use all that stuff to run you to the throne of grace. That's what it's for. He's not doing it to you. Don't blame him. Don't blame him. He's got another guy that'll do it to you. Okay? I don't know how God's orchestrated all that stuff, but I can never find it in my heart to say, God did this to me. God gave me cancer. God did this, blah, blah, blah. No. Because every time I say something like that, I get this biggest check inside of me. Because what we're saying on one hand is, all my sins are forgiven. All my punishment's been taken away on Jesus Christ. But I did do this one other thing, so I guess I'm getting punished for that. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. It's all about grace. It's all about His blood. Okay? The sins you did yesterday, the sins you do today, the sins you do tomorrow, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. If you're carrying anything right now, it's under the blood. I don't even know if He sees it, to be honest with you. I'm not kidding you. I don't know if God even sees it. Because He says, I cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, and I'll remember them no more. Well, what sins are we talking about? Just the ones on the day Jesus died? Then the ones that were after the Calvary? Is He holding you accountable for those? No, but there's an enemy of your soul that would like for you to believe that. And if you believe into Him and you put your faith in Him, guess what's going to manifest? Sickness in your body, pain, financial problems. Well, God isn't going to bless me because I did something so bad 3 weeks ago. You got to get to know the Lord, and I'll end it with this. We got to get to know the Lord. We got to start paying Him attention. I remember when the commanding officer would come into my barracks, the first thing that in the military, Ronnie, you know this, when a commanding officer would come into your barracks, whoever saw him first had to say, "Attention!" Because the man with authority that was in charge of your life, he could make life wonderful for you, or he could make life hell on you. So when he came into that barracks, somebody had to acknowledge him and honor him because of the authority that was on his life. Not the man, but the bars he had on his shoulders that said U.S. government. And that's one thing the body, I'm going to get off on that tangent, but that's one thing the body's going to have to start learning, that God has placed an authority in the church. And we are going to have to learn the principle of submitting to Christ and honoring the authority that God has placed in the church. And it's God's authority. It's not man's authority, but it's an authority to help, to encourage, to keep everybody on the right path and to prosper the body and keep the body healed and well. Amen. I had to learn a hard lesson when I was in the military. You know, when you get into the military, the first thing you got to understand is you don't have any more rights anymore. And you have to submit. And that's another problem we have. Nobody wants to submit to anybody. Wives are fighting with their husband. Husbands fighting with their wives. Nobody wants to submit. And then the kids go off and God only knows. There's a lot of things coming down the pike from heaven, and it's all about His grace. It's all about bringing us into the fullness of who we are in Him. Amen. Praise You, Lord. Father, thank You for this word, Lord. Like Ray Prinzing always wrote in his books, Father, anything I said that was from Jim Wilson, let Your Holy Spirit burn it up, Lord. Burn up, Father, the chaff. But let the wheat remain, Father. Father, we are in a glorious hour. God, the heavens are opening. The heavens are opening to us. And You're saying, come up here. You're saying, come up and get into the ark. Come into the fullness of who you are in Christ. Leave all your burdens and your health problems and your financial problems at the cross. Cast all those cares. How is it that we're 20 years in the Lord, Father, and we're still worried about everything? Why is that, Lord? We need more knowledge of you, Lord. We need to draw closer to you, Lord. That's the cry of your heart, Father, in this hour. Come, my children. Draw near unto me and resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. But first, you've got to draw near to me, saith the Lord. I need your attention in this hour. I need your attention. The trumpets will be blowing, the prophets will be coming, and they will be prophesying to those who are in the valley of decision. This is a great day of the Lord. This is a great day of the Lord. I have so many great things in store for you that Jesus paid such a high price for. So call on me. There's nothing wrong with my hearing, says the Lord. But sometimes I have a little problem with some of your hearing. But I have such a great love for you. Such a great love for you. That is the main reason behind Calvary. What greater love hath any man than to lay down his life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for this time together, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our midst. And Father, we thank you that this grace, like you spoke to my heart just 2 days ago, and you said, tell my precious children that this grace isn't just operating between 10 and 12 on Sunday morning. It's operating 24/7. You can come anytime you like. I don't sleep day or night. You can come anytime you like. And I will hear, children. And I will hear. And I will require you to be patient, because my ways are higher than your ways. But I will hear, and I will respond, and I will do the perfect thing for you, because I am a perfect God. So keep the faith. Keep my grace in mind. For I'll always be there. I'll never leave you or forsake you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you have a song, Cynthia? Just a song.
Great is your mercy towards me. Your loving kindness towards me. It's your tender mercies that I see day after day. Your mercy towards me. Great is your grace. Great. towards me. Your loving kindness towards me. It's your tender mercies that I see day after day. Forever faithful to me, always providing for me. Great is your mercy towards me. Great is your grace. Great is your mercy towards me. Your loving kindness toward me. It's your tender mercies that I see day after day. Forever faithful towards me, always providing for me. Great is your mercy towards me. Great is your grace.